An introduction to today's Chumash. A lot of the things that we're going to be reading today are called klalot, threats and curses. There are multiple ways of understanding it. There's philosophical questions, there's Kabbalistic interpretations, there's insights. But for the sake of our course, we're going to do the simple reading of the text. A lot of it is harsh. It's heartbreaking to read, but it is in the Torah. And Ein mikri yotzu midei pshuto, the literal always is the literal. We have to read the literal as the way it reads. But at the same time, it's important to introduce a story that one time Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, who was the Torah reader in his shul, was out of town on the week where they read these curses. And his son, who had always heard his father read, now had to hear somebody else read the curses. And when he heard all these curses, he fainted just from the harshness of it. And when they woke him up, they said, "I don't get it. You've heard the curses every year from your dad." He says, "As der tate leint, hört man nicht klalos. When my father was reading, I didn't hear any curses." In other words, there's different ways of reading. So first we finish off with the blessings. The produce will be of such high quality, last so long and age so well that you will eat doubly old produce, for it will taste better than last year's harvest, which in turn will taste better than this year's harvest. For the same reasons, you will have to clear the old in order to make room for the new harvest to dry there. I will place my permanent dwelling, the temple, in your midst, and my soul, my divine presence, will not reject you by departing from you. You will become so accustomed to my presence that in the afterlife I will, so to speak, walk amongst you, and you will not be afraid of me. Nonetheless, this familiarity will not make you any less aware of my transcendence, and therefore you will still revere me. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You shall not hesitate to trust that I can perform all these miracles, for after all, I am the God, your God, who miraculously took you out of Egypt from being slaves to them. I broke the crossbars of your yoke, and I led you upright into freedom. But, if you commit the following sevenfold train of misdeeds. Number one, you purposely do not listen, as in you don't study my Torah with passion, intending thereby to affront me. And two, consequently, you do not perform all these commandments. And if you consequently, three, despise those who do follow my rules. And four, reject the sages who teach you my ordinances. And five, prevent others from performing the commandments. Six, deny that I gave the Torah and that its rules are my commandments. And finally, seven, break my covenant with you by denying my very existence, then I too will punish you with a sevenfold train of calamities. I will set upon you disorientation, two, consumption and blisters, three, fever, four, diseases that dash hopes, and five, depress the soul of the sufferer's family who longs in vain for their recovery. Six, you will sow your seed in vain, for it will either not grow, or if it does grow, number seven, your enemies will eat it. Besides the above seven punishments, which are mainly for not studying Torah and performing my commandments, the first two sins, I will turn towards you and give a special attention for hating and forsaking me beyond this, the last five sins. You'll be smitten before your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you. You will flee, although nobody will be pursuing you. When the Baal Korah, by the way, reads this, he's supposed to read it on the lower voice. So just in sensitivity to the words we're saying, I'm trying to make sure that there's no passion in this. This is just, it's the words that God says, and unfortunately, we've seen all of this in real life in the past. There's more threats. I will angrily do the same to you. I will cause the following punishments to assail you in overlapping succession. Before one is finished, the next will begin. Number one, disorienting pestilence, which will confine you to bed but not afflict your skin, which will progress to two, consumption and blisters, which will damage your skin but not give you a fever, and three, will progress to fever, which will make you feel ill but not destroy your hopes of recovery, which will lead to four, diseases that dash your hopes of recovery but still allow others to entertain the hope that you'll recover, and this will progress to diseases that depress the soul by depriving others as well of hope of recovery. Six, 1 year you will sow seed in vain, but seven, next year it will grow, but before you can harvest it, your enemies will then eat it. Allegorically, you will sow your seed, meaning your children, but your enemy will consume them. I will turn towards you. You'll be smitten with pestilence before your enemies. Those amongst you who hate you, traitors from amongst your own ranks, will rule over you. You will flee in panic, although no one from amongst these traitors will actually be pursuing you, since they, just like you, will be starving as a result of an enemy siege. This unfortunately happened in the Second Temple era and other times as well. If during these punishments you do not listen to me and repent, I will add another 7 punishments for the above sins. I will break the temple, the pride of your strength. 2, I will make your skies dry like iron, which does not sweat, meaning there won't be any rain. No rain to water new crops. 3, your land moist like copper, which does sweat, causing any existent produce to rot. 4, your strength will be expended in vain, making you frustrated over the futility of the work. 5, your land will not even yield a quantity of the based on the amount of seed you planted in it. 6, the tree will be debilitated by the lack of nutrients in the earth and won't give forth any ripe fruit in the season. And 7, it will drop its fruit before ripening it. If in stubbornness you continue to walk with me irregularly, that you do not wish to listen to me, I will add 7 more punishments, corresponding to above listed 7 sins. I will incite both the wild beasts of the field, 2, your domesticated animals, both of which will bite you, 3, lethally, 4, they will bereave you of your young children, 5, they will utterly destroy your livestock, 6, they'll only diminish you, since you will be able to seek refuge inside your home, 7, all your roads, both major and minor thoroughfares, will become desolate. And if you continue your stubbornness, you will not be corrected by these punishments to return to me. You will therefore continue to not follow my path or follow me irregularly. Then too, I will treat you stubbornly. I will smite you 7-fold. 1, I will bring an army against you that will avenge the vengeance described in the covenant. 2, you will gather into your cities as this army approaches. 3, I will send an epidemic into your midst, and those of you who remove the corpses from the city in order to bury them will be delivered in the enemy hands. 4, when I eliminate your every source of food, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven because of the lack of wood for fuel. Moreover, the grain will rot, causing the bread to crumble, and will bring back the bread by weight. Your food will so be miraculously unsatiating that no matter how much you eat, you will not be satisfied. If despite all this, you do not listen to me and therefore continue stubbornly to walk with me, in other words, perform my commandments irregularly, then I will treat you with furious stubbornness and more punishments will follow. Again, everything in the 7. You will eat the flesh of your sons and you will eat the flesh of your daughters. I will demolish your tall and fortified edifices and thereby cut down your idols that you place on their roofs. I will make your corpses fall on the corpses of smashed idols. My soul will reject you by departing from you. I will destroy your city so completely that even passerby will find no reason to enter them. 6, your cities will be razed, and I will, by that very fact, make your holy places desolate. And 7, I will therefore not be able to derive any pleasure from your sacrifices which you bring to me. Despite all these punishments, I will still have mercy on you. Although I will indeed make the land desolate, it will be deserted also by your enemies, who will try unsuccessfully to live in it. And that's pretty much been the story, the history of the land of Israel. Thus they will have no desire to claim it as their own, which unfortunately has happened recently, but for most of history, nobody really claimed it. It was just desolate. I will scatter you amongst the nations, spreading you so thinly that you will not be able to take comfort from one another in your exile. I will sheathe the sword, after you persistently, allowing your enemies to harass you constantly, since you will not return to it quickly. Your land will be persistently desolate, since you will despair of returning to it. You will view your cities as being truly destroyed. Then the land will appease me over its unobserved sabbatical years. During the entire time that it remains desolate, while you're in exile, the land will rest and thus appease me over the Shemitah years, which you guys did not observe. As for those who survive the harassment you will suffer in exile, I will bring chronic timidity into their hearts. For as long as they are exiled in the land of their enemies, they'll be paranoid of the sound of the rustling leaf will pursue them. Unfortunately, one of the curses we see till today in Jews who live in various places in the world, and they're just so paranoid. And they will fall even though there is, in fact, no pursuer. I would say a lot about that resonates in the country that I'm living in currently. Paranoid of the sound of the rustling leaf. Each man will stumble over his brother Israelite, fleeing as if from a sword, although there is no pursuer. You will not even be able to stand up to face your enemies. Furthermore, you will at that time be held accountable for each other's wrongdoings, so each of you will figuratively fall because of the other's faults. You will become lost to one another due to having been scattered amongst the nations. The land of your enemies will figuratively consume you as you die and are buried in it. Those who will survive will, on account of their sin, waste away in the land of their enemies. And if the sins of their fathers are still with them and that they persist in the same behaviors, they will waste away on that account as well. They will then confess both their own iniquity and their father's iniquity, their unfaithfulness to me, by which they betrayed me, and also how they stubbornly walked with me irregularly. For which I have treated them reciprocally with furious stubbornness and brought them into the land of their enemies. Even though they will have only confessed their sins but not yet regretted and resolved them, I will in this merit send them prophets and teachers to remind them that they remain my people, nor that they do not be tempted to assimilate in their host nations. Perhaps then their clogged heart will become humble, and they will at least regret what they have done. If so, their suffering will appease me for their iniquity. Since, as stated, they will not have repented fully, I will have to invoke the merits of their forebears to redeem them. I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, who foresaw your exile and took pains to ensure that you would be redeemed. I'll remember the covenant with Isaac, with Avram, and I will also remember the empty, desolate promised land. For, as mentioned previously, the land will have been forsaken by them in order to thereby appease me over its unobserved Shemitah years, and this will appease me. This is all a retribution for the sins, and this is a retribution for having despised my ordinances and for having rejected my rules. But I exact no retribution for they having rejecting me. For despite doing all this to them, while they're in the land of their enemies, I will nevertheless neither despise nor reject them. As in, I will not proceed to annihilate them, and I will not break my covenant to them, for I am God your God. Therefore, I will remember for their benefit the covenant I made with their forebears, whom I took out of Egypt. To be a God unto them, I am the God. And Hashem finishes off. The contents of the book of Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, which were almost complete up to this point, are the rules, ordinances, and laws, both written and oral, that Hashem gave between himself and the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. The following laws, in contrast, apply equally to Jews and non-Jews, as we will discuss in the coming days.